Welcome once again to Grace Baptist Church and our Sunday school portion of this week. We want to continue with what we've been doing for about the last month, moving into a bit of a different area. Authority within the church. Authority within the church. When we speak of authority within the church, we're talking about members of the body, people within the assembly of God's saints who are authorized and appointed by God to lead those assemblies with official authority. Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm going to be actually reading a more literal translation from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 17. I think in your King James Version, Hebrews 13, 7 begins with, "Remember those who rule over you," something like that. Listen closely now. I pray that you will find these two verses in these renderings a bit more understandable and a bit closer to what we should be considering. Remember the ones leading you, who have spoken the word of God to you, teachers, of whom, considering the result of their way of life, how do they live their lives? Imitate that faith. That's the kind of example that pastor teachers should give to the flock. Obey the ones leading you, from verse 17. Obey the ones leading you and be submissive, because they watch over your souls, even as they render an account. Those two things go together. Those that watch over your souls must do so realizing they must render an account. As James in his book says, "Be not many teachers," because we, James, as a teacher, could say this of himself, "but we shall receive a stricter judgment." Obey the ones leading you and be submissive, because they watch over your souls, even as they render an account, that with joy they might do this, and not groaning, rather than have them groan over what they are going through as shepherd teachers. For this, if you were to do that to those men, for this of no gain for you. Now the Greek word I have translated leading is number 2233 in your Strong's Concordance. I would urge you to look that up to see where I'm coming from. And of course that's 2:2:3:3 in the New Testament. And that particular reference notes that the word lead, this is a strengthened form of the word lead, and means to lead or command with official authority. That's why I began our lesson by saying these people within the assembly of God's saints are authorized and appointed by God to lead in these assemblies with official authority. Folks, this is overwhelmingly important. Who are these men who have this authority? What are they referred to as? And of course, I'm talking about biblically. What are they called? Titus chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 7 give us about half of that picture. Paul writes to Titus, a true son in a common faith, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this reason, I left you in Crete. You see, Titus was an elder in Crete. That's what I believe. That you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, and he goes on, for down to verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. So you see, we have two terms, two names already, elder and bishop. And of course, reading that, you can see they are meaning the very same office. The elder, the bishop are one in the same. In addition to these men being called elders, bishops, we see them referred to as pastors and teachers in Ephesians chapter 4. Pastors and teachers goes together. If this person is a pastor, he's a teacher. And I'll explain more about that as we go. Reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 11. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to human beings. He led captivity captive. That one who holds you captive at his will, Satan himself, is now captive himself as Christ defeated him on the cross. And he goes on, and that was actually a quote from Psalm 68:18. And he himself, again speaking of Christ, gave some shepherds and teachers. Made a little change there, and I'll explain that as we go forward. The elder, the bishop, the pastor, the shepherd, must be apt or able to teach, as 1 Timothy 3:2 records. This is very, very important. That's a very small little portion there in 1 Timothy. Again, chapter 3, verse 2. The elder, the bishop, the pastor, the shepherd must be apt, must be able to teach. Therefore, this position of authority requires these men to be able teachers. I've heard some argument about ruling elders that don't teach. Goodness, that doesn't seem to match up with Scripture. These elders must be able teachers. Read your Bible. The word pastors, now listen up because I've just told you about shepherds. The word pastors in Ephesians 4:11, as we just read, is the word shepherds. And this is the only place The only place in the King James Version of the New Testament that we see the word pastors. And nowhere in the New Testament do we see the singular word pastor as translated. So one time we see that word translated pastors, that original Greek word. Everywhere else it's shepherd. So personally, I believe shepherd is the more fitting word in light of several scripture references. And I'm going to read one of them now. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, and we'll be returning here later. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Peter says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." I believe the King James Version here says, "Feed the flock." The word is not the same word used over in John's gospel where Christ said, "Feed my sheep." But indeed, the word here is a word meaning shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Now, I think that's interesting there. Because you see, men of God are called by God into the ministry. Not by compulsion, but willingly. God makes them willing in the day of his power. I hear so many men talking about, "I fought this." That's not a very good sign if you were fighting the will of God for your life to shepherd the flock of God. Do it with a willing attitude. That is the godly attitude. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not only should you buck against it, but you should be eager to do it. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Remember, he was speaking to shepherds of Christ's flock. The elder, the bishop, the shepherd must not oversee them. And again, that's another translation of the word bishop. That person must not only oversee the flock as a leader, but must be able to feed them the word of God by teaching them in word and deed how they live their lives. Not only teaching them in word, but in deed. D-E-E-D. What they do. Listen to Paul's instructions to Timothy regarding teaching the word. But actually, before we do that, I want us to realize God, the one true God and God alone, authorized Paul and Timothy to deliver God's word and lead his people. Paul, I'm reading now from one of the letters to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul was clearly authorized by God to deliver this glorious gospel, to teach the word of God. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me. Now that was 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul was clearly authorized and equipped by God. Paul's first letter to Timothy ends with these words, speaking to Timothy. O Timothy, guard or keep what was committed to your trust. Grace accompany you. Amen. That is Paul the Apostle with apostolic authority bearing witness to Timothy's authority to exercise the office of an elder. The elder, the bishop, the overseer, the shepherd and teacher are for all intents and purposes the same thing. Now I want us to look again at Ephesians chapter 4 and further consider what we see there. Going back to Ephesians chapter 4, reading verses 11 through 13. Speaking of Christ, and he himself, Jesus Christ, gave some apostles, some prophets, and my commentary here is clear. There are no apostles, there are no prophets today. When the last apostle died, apostles and prophets were no more. You see, God gave us his word, completing the work of the apostles and the prophets. As I've stated before, if you see a church where you see apostle on their billboard or prophet on their billboard, stay away from it like the plague, folks. It's not of God. And he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Again, that goes together. The shepherd must be apt to teach, able to teach. It is in the word of God. That's one of the qualifying points for being a shepherd and teacher. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build up the body in Christ, in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. And actually that means complete, a complete human being in Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're not going to be God, but we're going to be made like Jesus as to our holiness. Now let me add now something about what we just read. I want to look at the evangelist. And we can surely add the evangelist where we have eliminated the prophet and the apostle. We can add the evangelist to the present day list of those authorized by God in equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. In Acts 21, we see Philip the evangelist. That's what it says in your Bibles. The same Philip who preached to multitudes. His ministry was accompanied by miracles. You can read it in the book of Acts. The same Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. He preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch who was saved. Now I want us to look to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. All right. We're going to read the first five verses in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Paul, speaking to Timothy, I charge therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see Paul exercising his authority here. I charge therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. He's speaking to Timothy. Be ready in season, out of season. The word "and" is not actually in that text, and I was thinking, think about this. Be ready in season, out of season. You be in season, folks, if you're a Christian, when it's out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Proving my point earlier about those as shepherds being able to teach. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Same word, teaching and doctrine, same word. But according to their own desires, they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers. You can find that pretty much everywhere you go, folks. We see the homosexual community and so on and so on and so on, all kinds of groups who have their own churches. They gather together those folks who agree with them according to their own desires, and they have itching ears, and they heap up for themselves teachers. Now let me say something again. I'm not waving a fist in the face of homosexuals. You can't be a Christian and agree with homosexuality, but you can't be a Christian and hate homosexuals. You have to love them like anyone who needs Christ and pray for them. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We have so many churches that is fitting of. But you, Timothy, you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. Now listen, this is why I'm really reading this one little portion. Do the work of an evangelist. And there are some folks who then think, well, he was an evangelist. No, it says, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. If you'll read the letters to Timothy, you can see very clearly he was in an eldership spot, though he was young. So elder doesn't have anything to do when it comes to the office in the church with having to be an older man. The word evangelist in the scripture means a proclaimer of glad tidings, a proclaimer of good news, the gospel of Christ. It's quite clear from the Bible, from the Holy Scriptures, which include, I'm specifically speaking of the New Testament scriptures. It's very clear in the New Testament scriptures, which include the Old Testament and New Testament prophets, quotes from the Old Testament prophets, that the apostles and pastors and teachers all engaged in evangelism. Just look at the apostles. They all engaged in evangelism. Peter was called himself an elder, yet he did the work of an evangelist as well. I would say this to you. We still can't exclude today folks like Philip who appear to preach salvation through Christ alone as their sole ministry. So there again, I think someone could be called an evangelist apart from being an elder. Certainly, I believe I'm an elder in the church, a shepherd. But I know I've preached evangelistically many, many, many times, as all shepherds do today. In light of this, my main emphasis in this message is there is no true evangelist, elder, bishop, overseer, shepherd, pastor, and teacher who is not sent by Christ and authorized by Christ to exercise the authority to lead God's people by teaching them. Anyone truly in a pulpit today overseeing God's people by teaching them must be authorized by Christ. That's just the way that it is, folks. It's the way that God planned it. Now, just how do we know? Listen up. Just how do we know that a man is sent from God with authority to teach Christ's church? The first part is extremely simple. The first answer, number one, the elder, the shepherd, must be a man, not a woman. I don't say that hatefully, I just say it factually. 1 Timothy 2:12. I do not see how we can twist this scripture. It is so clear. With God-ordained apostolic authority, Paul records this as led by the Holy Spirit of God. I do not allow. In the name of Christ, he does not allow or permit a woman to teach, nor to exercise authority of a man. I know your scriptures say over a man. I'm not telling you that's wrong, but a better translation there is women cannot have the authority of a man. Only the man has that authority. I do not allow, I do not permit a woman to teach nor to exercise authority of a man, but to be in silence. What do you do with that? You obey that, folks. That's what you do if you are really a Christian. Going on now, you will know that the man is authorized by God to teach the people of God, to have authority with the people of God by teaching them, by his doctrine, by his teaching. Now, those of you who are truly saved, you want to do God's will. From the heart, you want to do God's will because God's given you a heart to do that. Christ says this in John 7:17. If anyone, men, women, if anyone is willing to do his will, to do God's will, that one shall know concerning the doctrine, concerning the teaching, whether it is of God. Folks, we have an anointing. It is within us in the person of the Holy Spirit to be able to discern between truth and error. In John 10:27, Christ says, "My sheep hear my voice." Now, folks, I've told you before what the word hear means, or don't hear, you know, doesn't hear. It means they hear with agreement. It doesn't mean they just hear it with their ears. It means they hear with agreement. They understand it. And I know them and they follow me. If you are one of Christ's sheep, you will feed from the word coming from Christ's shepherds. It's the way God planned it. He provided for you by giving you these gifted men. In speaking about God's people, John the Apostle says the following concerning himself and other teachers, and as well those receiving that teaching. 1 John 4:6. We are of God. That means we are God's creation in Christ Jesus. The one knowing God hears us. And again, that means hears with agreement, not just audibly, but is understanding what they hear and is following. The one who is not of God, one who has been left alone in sin, at least in that moment, hears us not. By this we know. Now, did you hear me? How do we know that these are truly men of God? By this we know the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth, straight out of John's gospel. That's the Holy Spirit. There's only one Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit. By this we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error, or the Spirit of deceit. Same word. God's people are of God. We are God's. G-O-D, capital G-O-D, apostrophe S. We belong to God by virtue of the new birth. They are new creations in Christ Jesus. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, we know we are of God spiritually. We know God intimately. We know God inwardly. And thereby, we are enabled to discern the difference between true men of God teaching and false teachers seeking to mislead us. I can remember when I was a baby in Christ, and I mean days old, coming into contact with some people who were way off the beam as far as biblical doctrine is concerned. I could not stand to be in their presence. I could sense spiritually that I was in the wrong place. I knew what was being said couldn't be true. How? By the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Now that's my experience. And I was absolutely right, because that wasn't long before that group disbanded and they went their way into many oh, God-forbidden areas. Just let me put it like that. True teachers of God, sent by God, they lead God's people by teaching them. Nonetheless, listen to this, it's not just teaching. They lead God's people by teaching them and by presenting the truth to them. No doubt about it. Nonetheless, this leadership must be accompanied by a way of life that matches the word they teach. Now, folks, you have eyes and ears and you can see these men who lead God's church. Their lives are rather evident to us. And what these men teach must match up with their lives, or vice versa. Two scriptures we've already looked at give us the right perspective of the relationship between the men that Christ has given to shepherd his flock and those in Christ's flock. There's a relationship between the shepherd of the flock and those in the flock. To the shepherd, God says through Peter, "Nor being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Now, this is something we need to understand, but it's very simple. Being lords over simply means that the shepherd doesn't dominate those they shepherd, but they are an example that the flock can follow. A shepherd cannot try to control everything that people do, but by example, show them the way to live a life pleasing to God. I tried to make that as simple as I could put it. I pray that we're all listening to that. For those of you who are Christians but are not elders, bishops, overseers, pastors, shepherds, and teachers, please listen to Paul again and his God-given authority as he instructs us. There is no authority, this is what Paul writes in the scripture, is led by the Holy Spirit. There is no authority except from God. Now that means everywhere, folks. If you see authority, true authority, it's God who empowered that person with that authority, or those people. There is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now that's hard to understand when we look around and see some people in positions of authority that we know are not good people. But it's all according to the purpose of God, and it will work together for good to those who love God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Christians, are you listening to that? And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Friends, that is most definitely applicable within the church. The words I just read you are definitely applicable within the church when it comes to authority of the elders. If this were not true, what I just said, if that wasn't true, Upon what foundation did Paul stand when he said, when he commanded Titus to rebuke with all authority in reference to the church at Crete, where Titus was when Paul wrote that letter to him? Paul had the authority to command Titus to, with authority, rebuke with all authority. And then that again was within the church. Now, with this in mind, I want us to close where we began, recognizing the authority vested in God, by God in His shepherds. We're going to again read from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 17. Listen to these verses again. Remember, church, remember the ones leading you who have spoken the word of God to you, considering the result of their way of life, imitate that faith. Obey the ones leading you and be submissive, because they watch over your souls even as they render an account, that with joy they might do this and not groaning. Because if you cause them to groan, that will be of no gain for you. Now, folks, those verses flow from the chief shepherd and bishop of our souls, Christ Jesus Himself. I pray that we will all follow the Word of God and be pleasing to Him in this matter. Amen.